Time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.
Well, we had technical difficulties to start the show, but, you know, it is the Voice of the Land right here on the Big Play Network, partnered with LPV Productions. We thank our friends over at Vector Technical to get the right person in the right job the first time. I saw plenty of jobs still, like some new ones. They actually created some new signs. I was over there. I had to get some stuff at Lowe's because we were putting in a ceiling light over the weekend. Trying to get the house ready for Lincoln's first birthday party coming up next weekend. So not this weekend, but next weekend. But look, we only got so much time, especially with an 11-month-old taking up much of our time. It's very difficult to get tasks done. So got some projects done over the weekend. And something else happened over the weekend, and that is Cleveland won a championship. I know that not a lot of people have mentioned this. I know, like, oh, face masks are just so important, guys. Like white from black or white from gray. I'm colorblind. I don't really care.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The Browns announced today that they're switching back to the white face mask.
Good for them.
That's all we're going to do to talk about it. But we need to talk about the Crunch winning the MLIS championship, the fifth championship in organization history, the second since their return. And we are joined right now. We're going to have a couple of players on, but we're going to start with the man in net, the goaltender for the Cleveland Crunch. That is Mario Musa, friend of the show. He's been on here several times. Mario, still relishing in the championship celebration, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard not to, you know. It's definitely a memorable weekend, so it's, you know, it's still running through my mind fresh like it was yesterday, so absolutely.
Now, do you still have a hangover from the party that after this?
Oh, believe it or not, no. I didn't go too crazy because I had a flight in the morning and had to work, obviously, Tuesday, so it was going to be a miserable day, so I had to cool it off a little bit.
Nice.
What was the celebration like?
Whoa, that was loud.
Like we said, technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties all night long. But what was that celebration like? I know you guys went back to the hotel and saw some video, especially with Kevin Blackwood. We'll get to him here in a minute. But what was that celebration like for you guys?
It was awesome. I mean, first and foremost, before we even went back to the hotel, we went to the hospital to visit him just to make sure he was doing well and, you know, in good spirits and everything like that. So that was kind of the kickoff to our celebration. We wanted to bring him the trophy, and obviously he was a huge part of our season, and, you know, without him, you know, we definitely wouldn't have won it. So, you know, we wanted to make sure he felt that and felt important and everything, because he definitely deserves it. And then, yeah, I mean, we just went back to the hotel and, you know, started popping some of the champagne and, you know, spraying it all over the place. And I think that's the footage you guys may have saw. And it just kind of kept rolling from there.
You guys had an excellent weekend. And I think the story for that may have gone unnoticed with you guys is defensively, the amount of depth you guys brought in this season right in front of you and in front of Connor and Liam when they were in there as well. Defensively, I mean, two high-powered offenses in Grand Rapids and Omaha. And to basically keep them shut down, I mean, there's always going to be those weird bounces. Goals are going to be scored in indoor with those walls. Talk about your defense and how it's kind of how it developed over the season and became one of those strengths that I don't think a lot of people really talked about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things that I brought up at the beginning of the season to these guys, and especially the newer rookies like Omar and Brian and some of the guys that were sprinkled in throughout the season. You know, when we look back on year one, that was the best defense we've had in the last 4 years. And I told them, you know, if you guys want to lift the trophy at the end of this year, we need to get back to that identity. We know our offense is deep and it's going to take us, you know, score goals and everything every single game. We're going to have a lot of goals. But, you know, if we're not defending, what good is that? So, you know, that was the main focus, at least from my end, making sure the guys in front of me are playing at a high level. And, you know, the rest will take care of itself. Like I said, we have a deep roster, thankfully, so we weren't too worried about it. But defense was definitely, you know, the identity we needed to have.
And offensively, you mentioned you're always going to have that firepower. But the injuries did happen in the championship game. Of course, Admir goes out with the soft tissue injury. I believe it was the quad injury, kind of tweaking that again. And then what was rough to, especially to watch, because I mean, the camera zoomed in and I know you guys took it hard as well. When Kevin Blackwood went down after scoring the opening goal, what did you guys, I know there was a time to kind of collect, to talk as they were getting him into the over to the hospital, getting him with the right medical personnel. What were those conversations like as you guys were getting set to go back out and play with between two powerhouse teams with you guys in Omaha?
Honestly, the message was just do it for him. Because obviously going into the weekend, we were just like, hey, we want to win. We worked so hard to get here. And then, you know, like we mentioned, you lose Admir early on. And then all of a sudden that happens with Blackwood. And then your mindset kind of shifts. You kind of develop a new motivation, a new desire to want to do it for a different reason, you know. And one of the themes all year was we need to have a purpose going into every game, whether it was individually or as a team. Like, why are you playing? What drives you to want to win and help this team win? And when that happened, everyone was on the same page. We all looked at each other and just said, look, forget the score, forget the fans, forget everything else. There's one of our brothers, you know, just went down with a very, very bad injury. And, you know, we need to do it for him. And we told ourselves, keep her cool. Don't retaliate. We need to focus on the game because there was still plenty of game left to play. You know, it's not like it was the last 5 minutes of the game where you can just kind of close it out. You know, we had to kind of restructure ourselves mentally and stay in tune, and ultimately just said, just do it for him. And, you know, we're going to bring the trophy to him when we're done. There's nothing going to get in the way.
I absolutely love hearing that because I am the like huge believer. And when you're playing for something just bigger than yourself and you're playing for like a team like you are, like, you're almost unstoppable at that point. Like, your mindset changes. Like you said, you just become so hyper-focused on what your goal is. And I'm just so proud of you guys. Can't say congratulations enough.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I was definitely feeling some bumps and bruises from the previous game and just through the season overall, you know, with my fingers are jammed and hips and knees are bothering. But like I said, when that took place, I think my adrenaline just took over and it was just like, nothing's bothering me. You know, we're going to see this game out.
I mean, that's how champions are made, man.
Yeah. You let the adrenaline kind of take over. And yeah, does it not feel so great when you wake up the next day, or that adrenaline kind of winds down and you feel all those bumps and bruises? No, but it's worth it when you're holding up the cup. And why was it so important to you guys for that purpose? Because you mentioned that word purpose, and as I'm kind of like seeing the games, as I was calling them with Munch and Gianluca this year, there was more intensity, more purpose, as you said, even coming off the benches, guys were going through their shift rotations. Like, the speed never let up in the midst of those rotations. You guys never really seemed to be caught out. Why was purpose so was able to be brought on or taken in by the guys so easily this season? Was it the message from Antonio Manfoot, the coach, or is it just the guys that you guys had and it was just easy enough to do that because that's the type of players you guys were looking for?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a few things. I think first is, you know, the bad taste in our mouths that we had from last year, the way we lost to Omaha. You know, we were up 4-0, same thing as the halftime on Sunday score. We were up 4-0 at halftime, ended up, you know, going on a bad stretch second half, and we lost that game. So that was one of the main motivators this year and the factors as to why we, you know, trained so hard and wanted to get this done because of last year. And then second was we understand the opportunity we have. We have a lot of older and experienced guys, and the roster could look very different next year or in 2-3 years, whatever it is. So we have a combination of older and you know, younger guys. So we want to take advantage of this high that we're on and understand that, you know, it's things could look very different and that success could be, you know, short lived, right? You know, we look at year one, things happen so fast. We won the trophy, and the next 2 years, it was a big struggle, you know, for a lot of reasons. So winning it this year was important, and we already know next year, like, you know, it's not guaranteed for anyone. So, you know, those are definitely a few of the other factors there.
Well, you're answering my next question pretty much. I was going to say, like, how do you go into next season knowing you can't rest on your laurels? Like, you've already witnessed this. Like, it reminds me of, like, the Patriots when they won their first championship, the Super Bowl. The next year, they lost. Like, they weren't even – I don't even think they were in the playoffs because they just thought they were going to come back and be the best team. And they didn't give it – they weren't as desperate to win that championship, and it taught them – to be like that. Now you guys have that same mindset because you felt what it was like. You won it, and then 2 years in a row you didn't, and it sucked. This year you won it, so I'm hoping next year, yeah, you guys are going to go into it a lot different and saying, like I tell all my nephews, when you're on top, what does everyone want to do? You got to work even harder than before because now everyone's coming at you. You're on the pinnacle. That's what you, everyone's looking at you now. So you got to be even better than you were this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're the target and, you know, they're trying to pull you down from it. And I'm glad you brought up the Patriots because someone asked me today, like, you know, what is the feeling of like winning, you know, any sort of championship at any sort of level? And I'm like, look, it's great and all when it happens and you enjoy it. But, you know, those who know Tom Brady, his quote goes, the best one is always the next one. So that's simple motivation for all the guys next year to understand, hey, this was great, but on to the next one. You know, we don't look in the past. We don't celebrate the past. We look what's in front of us. So.
And I think what you guys, and I mean, even the quality programs like Grand Rapids and Omaha and Chicago and the others, you know, Ohio Extreme, Colorado in the league, I think eyes got put on you guys. And I think that there's going to be some expansion in the league again. So there's going to be more competition. I'm sure there might be a little bit more travel. Those things will all shake out over the off season, but you know, you guys have set the standard and that has to feel good, that what the crunch were before all of indoor soccer disbanded here in Cleveland, now that it's back, to just pick up and bring that intensity, that purpose, as you said, has to feel good on the inside. While the next one is the biggest one, you guys right now, at least being able to kind of soak it in, has to feel good knowing what you guys have brought to that crest on the front of your guys' jerseys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about it, especially at home, because obviously when, you know, we're about to walk out pregame and we see hundreds of fans on the sideline from young to old. And, you know, that alone is a purpose in itself to represent them and play hard for them. And, you know, for committing their time to come watch us and support us every single weekend. And obviously, you know, you think about the guys that wore these jerseys before us years ago when the crunch were at an absolutely high level and they were winning championships back then. That's also a factor too, you know, because we know those guys are tuning in, they're watching, they have expectations for us too. So there's a lot of factors that play into it. And it's always good to remind the guys, you know, that, hey, we're doing this for a reason. It's not just because we enjoy playing the game. You know, we want to win for multiple reasons. So,
let's keep that purpose rolling. And I'm sure there'll be some more young talent, but a very deep roster. I know a lot of guys are going to be itching to get back once we kind of gets into the offseason a little bit deeper. I'm sure you got some soccer on the outdoor scene. Some of these guys will be playing for Cleveland SC as well. Different teams, different tournaments. But Mario, we appreciate you coming on the show. We'll have you on again because the Crunch are just getting things started in this reincarnation of the team. And congratulations to you and the boys again on winning the championship and the motivation just getting started for next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me as always. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. That is Mario Musa, goalkeeper for the Cleveland Crunch. We'll be joined by Captain Crunch.
Champion goalkeeper.
Champion, two-time champion goalkeeper, Mario Musa. And we will be joined by two-time champion, Captain Crunch, Dave Jordan, another friend of the show, on the other side of the break. This is the Voice of Land right here on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout Northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above-average hire-in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land as we celebrate and champion the city of Cleveland and the champions that they are here in the city of Cleveland. We keep the championship celebration rolling. We just had two-time champion goalkeeper Mario Musa, and another friend of the show joins us now that is two-time champ Captain Crunch. Dave Jordan is on the program. Dave, thank you so much for taking some time tonight. Got to be still feeling that championship celebration going on with you and your family and the entire organization.
Oh, no. We're back to technical difficulties.
We'll get Dave on because I think he can hear us, but we just can't
hear us?
Yes, he can hear us, but we can't hear him. But I mean, Jay, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, because you were tweeting up a storm. That's the first time I've seen you tweet a whole lot of soccer.
Yeah, I was tweeting up some crunch soccer there.
And he should be good to go.
Can you hear us better, or can we hear you better?
Very, very faintly.
Just sounds like you're down the hallway. That's all. Man. The headphones die on you. Jay, I mean, these guys, the performance they put in this weekend. I mean, Mario said it. The key word was purpose. And it just seemed like every stage of the season, they had a different purpose to continue that success.
The best part about it is they put their foot on the gas and they never let up, like, ever. Like, none of those games were, like, close. And I was hearing a little better.
We good?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep. So Dave Jordan joins us. We were just kind of talking about the performance from this weekend. And Mario mentioned the word purpose. And it just seemed like, you know, especially when Kevin Blackwood went out, but just the whole season, there was just this different sense of purpose from you guys, the young talent you guys brought in for their first seasons. It just seems like that purpose was always there, and you guys executed to perfection to win the championship again.
Well, I mean, honestly, it started as soon as Antonio got hired head coach, you know. Again, you guys hear this a lot. I mean, we know each other for a very long time. So as soon as he got, you know, hired into coach, a shot of a text said, "What's up, coach?" You know? So, I mean, he put it in, you know, in my head of, you know, how he wanted to come across the team and how he wanted to train. And, you know, we didn't really have any goals set then. I mean, honestly, the really goal was, how are we going to run this team strategically, you know? And that's, you know, Antonio coach brings in his strategies from M1 from all his years. So that was the main thing at the beginning of it, was, you know, obviously get back in shape, but driving a couple more strategic moves offensively and defensively on the team that we needed, which obviously helped out throughout the whole season. When we started winning, I think like three, four games in, we decided that the goal is obviously to win the league, and then the goal is obviously to win the championship. Once we started getting those strategic pieces in place and do them of every practice, you know, it kind of comes, you know, it's one of those muscle memory things. So that was pretty much the start of how we got the season and how it became the national championship ending season.
And I mean, you're talking about knowing Antonio.
He's still Coach celebrating, by the way.
I know. That's totally fine.
He's well-deserved.
It's well-deserved. But, I mean, you talk about how you guys have known Antonio Manfoot for a long time, and I know you guys have played alongside him. He got a chance to play when you guys were shorthanded this season in Omaha. But how long did it take to maybe make that transition from, like, this is a buddy of mine that I've played alongside, to, look, he's still my friend, but in training – in games, what he is telling us, the strategy is he is telling us, he is coach, and we need to, and even as a captain yourself, need to translate that onto the field and keep guys in line with what you're trying to get accomplished.
It's just a matter of respect. I think there was a lot of respect on the team this year. I'm not saying before there wasn't, but it was just, you know, it was him driving into me of how we want this done, and then, you know, me driving into the players, you know, so even some of the veterans, but at least the rookies, you know, Omar and Robinson and all them, driving into them that, you know, what we have here is special. And, you know, we want it to keep going as a team. So, you know, there's ways that it needs to happen. Kind of forgot the question a little bit, but hey, buddy.
We got outside distractions.
That's all right.
No, it's good.
Bubbles can get in there. So, I mean, it was just a drive. You know, you got to pump it into the kids' heads. My son just walked in. My youngest.
That's all right.
No, it's all good.
I mean, once Lincoln starts walking, he's going to be doing the same thing. Yeah. But I got to do it from the house too, Jay. You know that. Link's going to be doing that. He's about to be 1 year old already.
So,
this is AJ. This is Arthur.
We're talking with your goalkeeper about how 4 years ago you guys won it all. then the next 2 years, you didn't accomplish what you wanted to, but this year you're back to the mountaintop. How do you keep the focus for next year to like be even better? Cause we were saying how people are now after you guys, you're the champ. You got the targets on your back. How do you, as the captain, what's your message to your team to be like, we cannot rest on our laurels and we got to be even better than we were last year.
I mean, I know you guys are sports guys. You've seen it all the time. It's tough to go back to back.
Oh yeah.
It's tough having that bullseye on your back. You know, I mean, I think Grand Rapids had a little bit on that and, you know, a little bit more pressure on them. But you know, regardless for us, it's just, you know, we have to stay motivated for that next one. You know, obviously you celebrate it. Obviously a lot of the guys, they loved that, you know, we had this type of team, you know, a lot of young kids, you know, we have this camaraderie, we have this drive to want to win the championship, you know, because it's not, I mean, it's for fun, but it ain't for fun. You know, you want to win. So that's
winning's fun.
Winning is fun. I know, Bubba, but, I mean, it's tough work, you know,
yeah.
It's super tough work. Going back to back, it's very tough. So I understand. Hey buddy, I know you can hear later.
we'll get you out of here in a couple minutes. Cause I know what that's like, Dave, but,
You're good.
Any drinks taken out of the cup during the celebration?
Not on the field. Cause they wouldn't allow us to have anything on the field or in the locker room. So, I think the first one I had was maybe outside the stadium.
Since you were outside the confines of the rules.
And then we went to the hospital. Beck and myself went outside the hospital and sat on the porch waiting for our turn. And we had a beer outside there too. So
when you see,
but we
sorry, when you see a player like I can't think of his name. I got the ankle injury. I'm drawing.
Black, Kevin Black.
Thank you. Blackwood. And you see him get like a terrible ankle injury like that. How do you keep your focus in that game? Is it just a new motivation pretty much?
I mean, props to Kevin. I mean, you guys, you know, you saw what happened to his ankle, but I mean, that boy, he's been dealing with like a back issue for, you know, I don't know, a little bit, you know, so that's what he was most concerned about. And, I mean, to go down like he did, yeah, obviously it's horrible, you know, because he was already playing hurt, you know, and then this happened. So,
and he plays again, like he's like a bulldog, man. That dude is tough. He's a hockey player playing soccer. I swear to God.
yeah. So I mean, when he goes down, obviously you know it's a bad moment in the time, but you know after, I don't know if you guys saw, but it was a lot of commotion on the field after that. So once that broke free and you get everybody settled down and you get Kevin settled down, you know, it goes back to a saying that I said to guys before, like I was in the room sending a WhatsApp message to the whole team. And it's like, you know, we deserve or not deserve, but we need to be motivated and, you know, people need to step up when the time has come, you know, that was even before that. So, and it happens in a game. It sucks, but you know, you're a team. So what does the team got to do? You got to stick together. You got to come out and face adversity and you got to do what we're good to do.
And I'm sure that was a special moment in the hotel room. I mean, I don't want to make light of any sort of injury, but when you guys had like his picture and stuff with the cup and stuff, almost felt like he died. It felt like a memorial on the field, the way that it looked. But I mean, that moment had to have been special, bringing the cup to him, you guys playing for him and the additional celebration you guys got to have with him in that hotel or in the hospital and lifting his spirits as well as your guys' spirits being lifted as well, being able to see your teammate and know he put in as much as he could this season. And you guys did the same for him and for each other.
He did. I mean, he kicked off the scoring for us, you know, so first goal of the championship. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge tone setter, you know, because, you know, at the beginning of the game, we know Omaha's a good team and, you know, we know we could press them a little bit, but they're good at counterattacks. So if you press a little bit, they get a counterattack, boom, they score 1-0. So it's a huge momentum when you get that first goal, especially in the championship game, which brings our spirits up. And like you said, and I said that he was playing hurt, but you know, he did all he can do. It sucks it happened, but he did what he needed to do. And I told him that in the hospital, you know, and I told him that before he left to go in the ambulance. I said, you did all you can do. So we're going to do more for you.
Well, the only thing that's bothered me about this championship is where's the parade for you guys? Like, what the hell's going on here? I need a crunch parade. So here's what we're going to do. Yeah. We're going to tell your team next year, we're going to work on, if you guys win it, we'll push for the parade that you guys deserve this year. So that for next year, they're like, we got to win it because we're going to get a parade this year.
Yeah. Well, we did, I forget the name, but they got us in the Willoughby had a parade for something in the summertime. So we got in there and everything. We had one of those, the rocket ship, you know, driving us around, stuff like that. So that was fun, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but, and I'm sure that there'll be other times for you guys to celebrate. I mean, like over the summer, there's going to be all the camps and all the kids will be excited to see you guys and see people from the organization, and the celebration will continue until next year. But I know you guys will switch your mindset much earlier than that. But Captain Crunch, Dave Jordan, joining us here on The Voice of Land. Can't thank you enough for coming on throughout the season. We'll have you on again because you are a friend of the show, and it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to be able to call your guys' games, see the way you guys play, and champion the sport that I've loved my entire life. And just to have even like a small sliver of a part of it is an absolute honor. And we appreciate everything you guys do to represent the city of Cleveland. And if no one else will say it, we will make sure the city of Cleveland knows that Cleveland is a city of champions again. And that's because the Cleveland Crunch, led by head coach Antonio Manfoot and their captain Dave Jordan with us here tonight, won another championship, the fifth one, and a fifth star will go over the crest for next season. Thank you so much, Dave. We'll let you get you back to your family and keep celebrating. I'm sure I'll talk to you down the line.
All right, I'll talk to you guys. Thank you.
That is Captain Crunch Dave Jordan on the show. We will hit another break, and we got another guest coming in. We're going to switch gears.
Show today. Huge.
We're going to switch gears from the soccer pitch to the fairways and greens of a golf course. We bring in a friend of the show, Ed Ruper, the director of U.S. AmTour here in the Cleveland area, to talk about the season, also review the Masters and what's going on in the world of golf. We will talk with him next, right here on The Voice of Land on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast network.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
Welcome back to The Voice of Land. I'm Kevin Arnold. He is always positive, Jay. Peter Tellup, our producer extraordinaire on the other side, working us through some technical difficulties here tonight. We are just a loaded show of guests here tonight. We switch from championing our Cleveland Crunch, our national champion Cleveland Crunch for the MLIS in 2023-2024, over to the golf scene, and we champion our friend of show and the U.S. AmTour, the U.S. Amateur Tour, especially here in the Cleveland area. That is Ed Ruper. We bring him on all the time to talk golf, and we are ready to talk some golf with you, Ed. We appreciate you coming back on the show once again.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the time.
So the U.S. AmTour, before we get into, you know, Masters review, stuff like that, how can, if people are looking to get involved with it, where can they go? We'll, you know, we'll kind of bookend the bookend our time together with that so that people get the information if they're tuning in and out of the show. How can people get connected or become part of the USAM Tour?
So you go to the USAMTour.com website, and we do have a tour membership. And from there, you join the tour membership, and you're able to join different cities. And being part of the tour actually allows you to play on any tournament that we have across the country. Right now, we have over 32 cities and over 8,000 members. So very proud of it. We are the largest amateur tour in the country right now.
And, I mean, hey, Cleveland's always doing big things, so why not be the biggest piece of the tour? Ed, I know you probably watched the Masters over the weekend, the kickoff of the major season in professional golf. Scottie Scheffler is just, he's that guy on a different level, but I've heard so many people say about Scheffler, he's not drawing the viewership like Tiger used to do it at his peak, and there's not that guy that's doing that. Why do you think that, you know, there isn't that guy that's drawing him in, even though Scheffler is probably one of the, probably the best, he is rated the best in the world and has definitely shown that in majors as of late, but just not bringing that draw, the average fan bringing him back to the Masters?
Well, I mean, you guys know about the fracture in golf right now between golf and LIV.
Yeah.
And Scotty's just not that flashy guy. I mean, he's consistent. He's good. He plays. Now, I'm going to say I'm from Texas, so go Horns. Yay, go Texas, right? But, sure. You know, he's just not flashy. He's like an ordinary guy. So, you know, he's just nobody that jumps out at you. That's all. And I think in some respects, golf misses some of the characters, and actually a lot of the characters with the LIV. So, you know, PGA is a little bit boring right now.
Like Koepka, he's in the LIV, correct? And that dude's definitely a character.
Yeah. Oh, he is. I could be friends with him. I really could.
Who is he? I forget who he has beef with.
Swing on Netflix, I could be friends with him.
Is it DeChambeau that he has like beef with or something?
Yeah, but they're like buddy buddies now. You know,
No, I was better when they were like enemies.
$100 will make you friends, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of this fracture in the world of golf? And, you know, we know where the money is coming from to get these guys over to LIV, but, you know, we see the money that they are getting. And if, you know, most 9 out of 10 people, if they tell you that they wouldn't take that money, I feel like they would be, I feel like they'd be lying, because everybody could always use money and to help their financial standing where they are, where they're living, stuff like that. You can't fault them for taking money, but where do you stand on all of this? And do you think there's ever going to be like this come together moment, both PGA and LIV, now they come back together? Do you think that's actually going to happen like it's always talked about?
I don't know. I don't know, because you keep hearing the PGA say, hey, we're in talks, but you know, here it is now going on a year and they really haven't made any progress. And again, you know, you talk about the money. I don't blame anybody for the money. What I kind of got upset with was the LIV guys going, oh, I did it to grow the game. Okay, come on, let's be honest. You know,
somebody grow your wallet.
$200 million at you. Yeah. You're not growing much other than your wallet. Exactly. So I hope it comes back together, because we want to see these guys, you know, the DeChambeau, the Koepkas, the Smiths, we want to see them all kind of compete week in and week out, but I'm just not sure where it's going right now. It's really kind of a tough environment.
Do you think the LIV guys suffer when they come to these major tournaments, only playing now 3 rounds in LIV, and you know, PGA Tours, these guys are playing 4 rounds every single week that they're out there on the course. And it just seems like, you know, DeChambeau had pretty good start to the Masters. I've seen Koepka have good starts to majors. And it seems as you get into that third day and even into the fourth day, that tail off is there. Is there, you feel like there's any correlation there?
No, not at all.
Okay.
These guys are professionals. They know how to focus. I think it's just that at times when they're on LIV, it's not the same cutthroat capability anymore.
Yeah.
Because
you're getting, you know, the money no matter what.
PGA, exactly. You know, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, you finish last, you're still getting, you know, $10,000 or something like that. But in a PGA, you have a cut. You have to work. And if you don't play well those first 2 days, then you're out and you make zero. So, no, I think these guys, especially the high-end guys, are professional enough that they've got that extra gear. They got that mentality that they could do that if needed.
So that's what my next question was going to buddy off his is, I wonder if that mentality, because you heard how the Cavs, they were back in the day, like, can you hit the switch? And they're worried about this brand of the Cavs. Can they do they have the ability to hit the switch without LeBron? And can these players go from that mindset, like, ah, I can win, I can lose, whatever. At the end of the day, I'm getting paid millions. And then go right into a tour and be like, all right, I got to hyper-focus this whole time. And constantly going back and forth from that kind of mentality, do you think it affects them in a way?
It probably depends upon the golfer, but if you look at like Koepka, I mean, the guy is a killer when it comes to the majors.
Yes. So
he gets that uber focus that says, I'm in it for the majors. I'm going to do it. So there's definitely that mindset with some of them, whether or not all of them can do it, but definitely seen it in Koepka. So I tend to believe more that they can do it than they cannot do it.
Now here's the, like, I feel like the majors are the majors and they don't even need to, prize money, and I think those guys are going to battle like no matter what because the majors, it's what they've the nostalgia of them over the years. When right. you're playing in all the regular tournaments, can you see? Do you think is there like a drop off from that? Like they're like, yeah, I'm here, whatever. You know, I'm a millionaire. I made so much money on my other tour. Or are they still like, you know what? I'm a competitor. I still want to win. Or is it just go from golfer to golfer pretty much?
I think it's still there's still the drive to win. I mean, we all have the drive to be the best to win. We want to stomp on your throat. We want to make sure we win. And I still think that's there no matter where they're playing. And they, I'm sure they're disappointed if they don't finish well. But, they're, you know, again, in live, they're getting a check. But I think ultimately they still want to crush your skull.
Well, Ed, you know that we've talked in the past about how I wanted to take up the game, and we, you know, mentioned that I did take a step closer to taking up the game of golf. Like I understand the game of golf. Can I execute how the swing has to be? No, I'm going to need training. But my family actually basically bought me a set of my first new set of golf clubs for my birthday. One of those like pre-made sets that you would get. At like Dick's Sporting Goods or sure. one of those places. They got me a gift card to Dick's and I bought my own set of golf clubs. Advice to people that are interested in taking up the game like myself that, you know, they want to take that first step. Where does that first step have to happen?
Well, I think we live in a different generation when I started. So when I, you know, I'm an old man compared to you guys. When I started, you just went out and played. And then once you felt comfortable, you get lessons. But now you've got the YouTube generation. So I would suggest you start with YouTube. There's plenty of instructors or people that are analyzing the swing that you can start there. And then just go out and play. You know, don't worry about the technical piece at this point. Because I think what you need to do is first kind of develop your own swing. And then once you've developed that and you've got some consistency, I mean, really – that's what golf is about, being able to consistently execute the swing the same way. I mean, you look at like Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk's teacher, his high school golf coach told him he'll never amount to anything. Now he's like a four-time major winner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of can you execute the same swing over and over again? And once you've done that and done that consistently, then I would say go see a professional and then start getting some lessons because it's really tough to try to take lessons out of the gate if you haven't tried to develop your own style.
That's great advice. I'm soaking it. I'm like, yeah.
I know. Like,
I have a set of golf clubs. I have used them once on Father's Day, and I just don't want to go golfing with people because they're way better than me, and I don't want to embarrass myself. So I would say, Kevin, go golfing with me.
And I'll join you guys because I'm not very good either.
And I'll say one more tip. We need to go to a Metro Parks course where there's no houses.
I saw you on one of your podcasts. You're talking about you want your own golf outing. So I did kind of see that not too long ago, right?
Yeah. I would love to do our own.
In order to have your own outing.
Come yeah.
I mean, I don't have to plan my own outing. I got to be the host.
Ed, it's
that's what I'm. That's actually what I'm great at.
Ed, it's always about Jay. You know, it,
Kevin's going to be the one playing.
He just put the positive in there. It's just, it's always about Jay. That's he just fit the words around to come up with a moniker, always positive Jay. But, you know, Ed, I mean, that really is great advice. Is there what Jay was just kind of saying, though, is there that intimidation factor that you feel like maybe pushes people away from going and trying to learn the game of golf at their pace, at their rate? Because they're like, oh, well, I know all these people that go golfing. I don't want to go golfing with them, like Jay just said, because they're way better than me. Like, I don't feel like I can go out anywhere.
Well, if that's the case, you're hanging out with the wrong people, because golfers, I mean, myself, it doesn't matter. If you're out there for the enjoyment, it doesn't matter how good or bad someone is, okay? And I tend not to give anybody any advice when I'm out unless they ask me. But it's just a matter of just go out, enjoy the company, being in the outdoors, and that's to me, when you first start golfing, that's number one.
So this is what we need to do. All of us go golfing
with you guys if you want.
Exactly. And here, you said you're not going to give advice until asked. Give me all of the advice nonstop. Keep critiquing me. I want to be good. Like, I'm so competitive. I hate sucking at something that I'm doing. It drives me crazy. Richie, that we need to get back out there though on one of your tours for sure. Because we checked out Greyhawk. Yeah, I remember that.
You guys know you're always invited. You know that. So
yep.
Yeah, we'll have to get a one we haven't gone to yet. Cause I like to see the new ones.
I know it didn't come together last year, but you know, having a new kid and everything.
I still hear pitter patter feet at your house. I think
that
didn't come about, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, he's about to turn one on May 1st. We have, you know, families are 2 hours apart, so we're going to have a birthday party up here at the end of April, and then
congratulations. That's
yeah, another birthday party with the family. And since
now he's getting old enough, you guys can all come out.
Yeah, we just got to get him. He won't let go of stuff yet. Like, he wants to walk. He just won't let go to try it, you know, to try it on his own. I mean, and it's kind of me with golf. Like, I've wanted to get into it. I just haven't, you know, let go and just let myself get into it and experience it, because I always love watching and I'll watch it whenever I can. And I understand what they're trying to do. The whole concepts behind it. It's about the actual, can you do it? Just like Ed was saying.
I just want to beat my dad on Father's Day.
We'll arrange some range time, maybe do a couple range sessions. And then after that, we'll arrange to go out and play 18.
Do you ever go to the Top Golf over there on 480?
Do it all the time.
I'm like literally on the other side of the bridge. So I'm ready whenever you are.
We know the entertainment factor of places like that. I've always wondered, from like an actual golfer's perspective, are there benefits to working on your game by going to a place like that?
No.
Okay.
No, it's all for fun. We go out there every year with my golf league. It's kind of our winter thing. And we just go out to goof off. We don't go out to try to work on a thing. We just go out there and have fun.
I mean, if we were going out there and we were swinging, you could still see like, hey, do this. You know what I'm saying? You could.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, no, for very beginners like me and Kevin, I think that would be great.
But, yeah, but just going to the range is going to be a lot more affordable than going to Top Golf.
This is true.
Well, you know, we're
the
talking about
in the sky is very, very accurate there.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's our AI system, Ed. You know, Peter. He never wants to be on camera, so we basically turn him into an AI system on the show anytime he jumps in. Even though I have no idea what AI actually is, I just know that we call him an AI system. And we're talking about trying to get out to, you know, get out to another stop this year as a show. Talk about some of the, you know, talk about the USAM Tour again, how people can get involved and some of the tournaments that are going to be coming up with the Cleveland market, specifically where those different courses are going to be this year.
Okay, sure. Again, the USAMTour.com. We just launched a new website. Many of us, we had a nice article written about us in Golf Digest. You may have seen us in Golf Digest, and we had a one-page ad with Golf Digest. So, and I had these written down just so I remember them. So where we're going this year, we open up Sunday at Chippewa at Doylestown. In May, we'll be at Brookledge and Kensington over in Canfield. And then in June, we'll be at Glen Eagles in Twinsburg and Greyhawk up in Grafton. And then in August, we're down at Oak Shadows, down in New Philadelphia. Great layout. Our players really loved it. We are also in Ashland Country Club in June. We're kind of doing a joint event with Columbus. And then our championship this year is going to be at Avalon Lakes, where the PGA used to play out in Warren.
Yeah, I've heard of a few of those courses. I mean, of course, we were out at Greyhawk, but I mean, those are some pretty good spots, and especially in New Philly. Like when I'm going to the in-laws, I'm driving right through there, so that might be perfect time to, you know, family trip, but to put a little business behind there as well. Well, Ed, we thank you so much for taking time tonight. We always appreciate having you on. I promise you, this year we'll have you on during the season as well to talk about some of the other golf happenings, especially if there's any news or movement between PGA and LIV, but also for an update of who's leading the US Am Tour. Love to stay more connected on that this year.
I even got my golf hat on.
He's got his golf hat on tonight. So he was ready to go. Ed Ruper, awesome. Director of US Am Tour here in Cleveland. Thank you so much for taking time to join us here tonight. And we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Thanks guys. Again, appreciate the time.
Take Absolutely.
Care. Bye-bye.
Well, Jay and I got a few headlines to kind of run through in our last 15 minutes. We got started about 10 minutes late, so we'll go 10 minutes past 9. But we're going to try to keep this to an hour. We got a lot to get to in a very short amount of time. That's what's going to make the final segment fun today. This is the Voice of the Land on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Welcome back one final time to this edition of the Voice of the Land, part of the Big Play Network, as well as the audio streaming at Be On Air Podcast Network. Once we get that all situated, plus you're going to find us on your favorite podcast platform. We got a lot to get to in this final.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
We just spent 3/4 of our show. And we didn't talk about one of the three major sports teams in our city.
No, we didn't. Well, we did. We made sure we referenced them, but we did our due diligence. We took care of that.
The face mask. That's not news.
No, it's not.
I know people love it, but it's a face mask, dude. It's a face mask.
Just remember, Andrew Berry has his pre-draft press conference tomorrow. You know what he's going to do. He's going to say a lot of words.
And not say anything at all.
He might say something about
Stefanski's like Stefanski's going to be on the radio tomorrow, and one of my questions might be read to him. What does Stefanski ever answer about the Browns? Nothing. So I'm like, all right, he ain't going to answer no Browns question. So I wanted to ask him. I was like, you've been in Cleveland for all these years now. What's something you've learned about Cleveland that you didn't know when you first moved here?
And you know,
so that's a question you might get some, you know, at least pop our city.
Yeah. I mean, and you saw he joined Watson in his podcast. Like you saw.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't watch it.
No, sorry. I mean, like,
I know he did. I'm just insulting his podcast. I can't stand the fact that he does one. I think it's stupid.
Okay. What? That's
fair. I told you, man, people ain't going to like my Watson takes lately.
That's
anymore.
Fair. No, you know me. I
think it's the biggest waste of time. He's the only quarterback in the entire league that has a podcast, and it annoys the crap out of me.
And you know I'm always on your side with all of that. Yeah, all I'm saying is that the video clips that I saw, you saw a little bit more personality from Stefanski. And I know when he's joined some of these radio shows.
Is it bad that I didn't watch 1 second, Kevin? I probably should for the show, and I'm like,
I mean, it just pops podcast. Up, and yeah, like I look at it for the show. It's not like I'm not searching for it, that's for sure. I'm not searching. I'm not waiting to see these things. But
yeah, I got to get off this because I go on like a terrible rant and it'll
right.
be
I'm just saying what the point you're bringing up, Kevin Stefanski will be with ESPN Cleveland tomorrow. He might be doing like a radio tour tomorrow. I don't know. I haven't seen all the plans. But when he's in those kind of moments where he goes into a studio or he's, you know, kind of one-on-one with people, you get a little bit more of who Stefanski is and not this, like, I got to hide everything. I'm not going to tell you who's calling plays. I'm not going to tell you this. I'm not going to tell you that. That's, we know that.
When I know Kevin, I'll let you know.
Cleveland.
That's the Kevin Stefanski answer.
Cleveland is known for people that say a lot and don't say anything at all. What Cleveland is also should be known for is good basketball. Playoffs start this Saturday, Cavs game one against Orlando. Jay, what was your thoughts on their approach to the last game of the season? Did it affect you in any way?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because I knew what they were going to do. And I knew what they were going to do the day before the game. And the Charlotte were plus $700 or $700. And I may have wagered a nice amount of money. And I may have won a nice amount of money because the Cavs, I knew what they were going to do. I'm like, they're not going to play anyway. It's the last game of the year. They're going to rest everyone. You got Donovan Mitchell, whose knee's killing them.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I'm like, no one's going to play. What do you,
if this,
I now separating myself from my bet, I thought it was kind of chicken bleep, to be honest with you. I thought they probably should, in my opinion, probably would have changed had not the Browns did what they just did in the playoffs. And I'm like, all right, because I said before, yeah. I was like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And it was. It was a huge deal. Yeah. Momentum's big. So right now, let's just hope that the momentum starts the game one.
If this team wasn't playing, and I'm not saying they had to be the winning 18-20 team that they were before guys started coming back from injury just before the All-Star break. But if this team was even a semblance of that team after the All-Star break, I don't think as many people would have had a problem with it. The bad look is when you're winning the game, but you stick to your plan. You take the starters that you were allowing to play, the main rotation guys you were allowing to play in that game. Your plan was to sit them in the fourth quarter, but you're winning and New York's kind of battling with Chicago. Milwaukee's losing. You could bump yourself up in the league and have, you get to the two seed, you got more home games. Now, we know that with New York winning, they would not have gotten to the two seed. They would have been the three if they would have won. Avoiding teams, whether they're avoiding teams or not, I didn't have a problem that they're trying to rest with all the injuries that they've gone through and trying to make sure that these guys are healthy. And then this week, I know that they're going hard in practice and they're ramping it up. Is it too little too late? I hope not. And Orlando is a team that you should be able to beat, but how you're going to beat them is making the adjustments you never made in the Knicks series. And that is getting physical, not allowing this team to out rebound you, out tough you, because you already know that that Orlando team has all of this on the bulletin board. They're this created narrative that the Cavs were going after Orlando because they felt like they could beat them.
With what you're saying, the Orlando's definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
I hope that message is so portrayed hard to the Cavs that we're not avoiding teams. We did that for rest and solely for rest. And because if they think that, I mean, that's going to be really bad if the players think that these guys can't beat certain teams.
You can't be naive enough or stupid enough to not know what is creating bulletin board material for your opponents. Sure. What I would like to see, I know what I want to see. And especially in this series, the Cavs better be telling JB, the coaching staff better be telling all of the players, look, they're going to use that. They're going to come out like gangbusters and they're going to try to take game one. They're going to try to take our soul. Like the Knicks did.
We put a target on our back. Embrace the target.
Embrace the target and push it back to the other side. Like their bulletin board material, them thinking that they can use that against you, that should be your bulletin board material. Don't allow that to happen. There's going to be tough moments. It's going to be possession by possession. It's not going to be easy. This Orlando team likes to slow things down. You know how you combat that? Get up and down the floor. As soon as a basket is made or missed and you get a rebound, get up and down the floor because you can break the metal of an opponent that just wants to slow things down. I know the playoffs are slowed down half court basketball, but who says you can't change that narrative by playing up tempo? Do the opposite, establish your pace, your mentality in the game. Game one coming up Saturday at 1:00. Game two will be Monday at home at 7:00. Game three will be Thursday in Orlando, the first time they go down to Orlando at 7 o'clock, and then they'll come back. They'll play in Orlando, but they will have another Saturday 1 p.m. game, and then, of course, game four.
We got a close game in Philly and Miami. Those are two tough teams in the play-in right there.
Yeah, and look.
And Guardians are lost.
Lost 2-0?
Yep.
Hey, look. It's,
that's all right.
Yeah. So let's switch gears to them. I mean, I know that there's going to be close games, and, you know, can the Cavs flip a switch? I don't think you can, but there's enough talent there to make a push in these playoffs. Guess what? The regular season now doesn't matter. Everyone is 0-0. You're trying to win four games before the other opponent. That's all. The team that's in front of you, that's all you're worried about. If you can come up with a good game plan, you can play well in that series. For the Guardians, to switch to the baseball and champion them, we're hopeful for our basketball team. We send them as many positive vibes. We champion them. We champion our baseball team. When people don't talk baseball, we talk baseball. Guardians now 12-6.
What's tied for the second best, half game out of the best record in the AL right now.
And that's
behind New York.
But
with like 1/8 of their payroll.
Right. And you're already
probably even worse.
But you're already seeing like injuries to the pitching staff. Like, it's April.
Yeah. I had enough of this.
Look, it's great to, I'm glad so many people are talking baseball because they're getting off to a much better April start than we typically see here in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is that the people that are on the ledge with us right now, that we will support the baseball team.
When they go bad, when they have their lows, they're going to bail.
The lows, they're going to bail before the low even hits the low. And it doesn't feel genuine. Here it is. I love what Steven Vogt is doing. I love what they are.
Kevin, what did I point out to you that I love seeing when we first got to this thing? Two kids playing catch outside. I was like, man, that's great to see. You don't see that a lot. We're baseball lovers, man. What do you want? Peter, you too. I see you not paying attention over there.
No, he is.
Nah.
He has to. After
I mean, I don't
I have
see
to
him.
Know when to we cut you off.
Look, this team is, and yeah, they're hitting home runs. There's, again, reality check. Every team goes through offensive lulls. I'm going to keep saying this on this show. The teams that will have success, if the Guardians have success this season, it is because they stem the tide on those rough moments sooner than other teams, the teams that end up losing close to 100 games, if not 100 games. I like that there's a bit of free swinging. It doesn't feel like guys are pressing at the plate. And this isn't anything against Terry Francona. It's just sometimes a fresh voice when you say things that you mean the same exact thing the last guy meant, but you mix the words up. You say it in a little different way. I mean, that just helps to rejuvenate him.
He's saying this team does not give up. They have fight in them like no other.
Yeah.
And that started, 11 years ago with Terry Francona. His message is still here.
You have 27 outs.
Now a young guy just doing what he's doing, and he's starting off great.
You have Terry Francona said it, and like you said, Vogt is continuing it on. There are 27 outs in a baseball game. In order for the game to end, I mean, yeah, you might go into extras, but for the most part, 27 outs. Until that last out is made, you continue to play. And guess what? Steven Vogt also has said, you guys have played together for a while. Like, I'm not trying to change anything. You guys just go be you. I just have some tweaks and some different new age type stuff that I can help add to you guys.
You know what's jumping off course and started thinking about this. How great is Terry Francona? How many times we say you don't want to replace the guy, the great, you want to replace the guy replacing him? With Terry Francona, you actually just want to replace him because that culture is so good that you could just slide right in there, and it is such an easy transition for Vogt.
The reason why you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy is because you know that, like, it's very hard to push away that you are going to overwork and overthink, overdo things to try to, like, say, like, oh, I'm here, I can do this great of stuff. You had this guy that was doing this greatest stuff.
And now it's my way. We're going to do it my way. Yeah. And Vogt's not doing that. He's very smart about it.
He's just, he's allowing the culture to stay there. And he's just adding. He's not revamping. He's adding.
Yes.
Is that going to result in this team making a run of the Central and the playoffs?
It reminds me of, I don't know if you're around watching football, when John Gruden, was it John Gruden and the Bucks that won it? No. Who was the coach before John Gruden? God, I'm so terrible with names.
Wasn't it the guy that went to Indy with Peyton?
Yeah. And I can't think
of Tony Dungy.
Thank you. So they were, Warren Sapp always said, like, we had this kitchen, right? And it was just a mess. And it was just crap everywhere. Tony Dungy came in, cleaned up the kitchen, got it operating. Everything spick and span. We're ready to cook. Then he had to go, and John Gruden come in, and he made the cake. And that's exactly what Steven Vogt's doing right now.
Yeah, you want to continue. If you have to go in a different direction, you want to continue to build and not have to rebuild and like start from the foundation. Start the foundation from step one. Before we get out of here, be remiss if we didn't mention the WNBA and women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, of course, goes number one, the least kept secret in all the world.
Yeah,
and boy, does she handle the attention so well, and doesn't take it as like I'm queen, I'm number one. All that matters is me. You know what she's saying when people are asking her, as much as Diana Taurasi and some of these old.
Don't even get me started on that lady. I do not like how she's treating her. That's just wrong.
I definitely want to have a deeper conversation.
One day,
look, guess what? Whether you like her or whether you like Caitlin Clark or not, she's going to be bringing eyes to your league, and there's going to be people that catch on to the Phoenix Mercury.
Just don't be an angry curmudgeon. Yeah. Like,
look, Caitlin Clark knows that there's going to be a transition from college to the professional ranks. She knows it's not going to go perfect. She is saying that. You know what she tells people when they ask her, you know, what do you think you will be able to have success with in the WNBA? She doesn't go logo three. She doesn't go like, oh, I can get to the basket anytime I want. I can shoot from wherever I want, however far up. Oh, she says her passing, because she's got a Leah Boston, who's a really good player for the Indiana Fever. She has Kelsey Mitchell, who was a standout freshman and player for Ohio State for a while. There is young talent in Indiana. She's like, I just got to give them the ball. I just got to put them in the right spot because
I'm curious to see how she plays with, because I mean, Iowa had some good players. You're not going to, no one person team is going to take you to a championship. So I don't want to down talk, but the players that she's going to have around her now are going to be a lot better and a lot more talented.
But look, I mean, the numbers are up for viewership. I mean, you had,
And what did I tell you before it started? Did I not tell you that the girls' tournament would outview
you
the
did.
Men?
And like, there was no way like people couldn't see that. I think people didn't want to accept that. But that's good. That's good for sport. The people that want to tear it down, there's always going to be those people. But it annoys me. And then the people that are bringing out like, oh, what is her contract going to look like? Guess what? This is just we're building. Women deserve more money, but it's going to happen by like, hey, we're starting to watch more. We need to keep going and not just like, oh, the first game of the year, we just watched Caitlin Clark. No, if you watch Cardoso and Angel Reese, they're playing together. A 6'7" and a 6'4" forwards like that can dribble and all of this kind of stuff that we love about the men's game. There's a positionless basketball. Boy, oh boy. Did the Chicago Sky get great talent? J.C. Sheldon from Ohio State. That girl can shoot the basketball. Like, there's new TV deals coming. There's all of this stuff that's going to gradually take that next step in terms of revenue. But appreciate the greatness that you're seeing. Appreciate the work that you're being shown. And Caitlin Clark's not the only one. All of this talented.
There's a lot of stars in the NBA, like well-known people. You got Sabrina. You got
Asia Wilson.
You have
Kelsey Plum with the ace.
Candace Parker.
By the way, I love that Kate Martin from Iowa, who was like a defensive stalwart and Caitlin's best friend and someone that could knock down that clutch three when the double team came on Caitlin. I loved seeing that she came to support Caitlin and ended up getting drafted by Las Vegas, a championship team, in that same night. Like, she got a chance to have her moment too. Loved seeing that. And Caitlin even took a moment away from media to watch her friend do that. Like, that's the type of women that are coming into the NBA and or WNBA. And there's that type of woman and person in that league already. And now I hope more eyes get on that. And I can't wait to watch the WNBA. Like, I'm going to be watching that as much as absolutely possible. And it's just, it's good to see. It's good for sport. You may not agree with that. I will keep championing that it is good for sport. What is happening? Caitlin Clark is the focus, but boy, oh boy, the talent that people are going to catch on to and the level of basketball that people are going to catch on to now that they caught on to the college game, professional level gets even more intense. I can't wait to see those numbers grow as well. Well, we touched on a lot tonight. We had three guests, so we want to thank Mario Musa and Dave Jordan from your champion, national champion, Cleveland Crunch. Yes, Cleveland is a city of champions again, people. Five championships. Get on board. Get out to the Crunch next season. I'm telling you, it is fun. It is family-oriented, and it is exciting, exciting action. We also thank Ed Ruper for talking golf with us tonight. We ran through as many headlines as we could.
Thank Peter for figuring out all our technical difficulties.
Yes, thank Peter.
Out blowing a gasket.
And now we must bid adieu to all of you. So for Peter Tellup, the producer extraordinaire, and I don't put that lightly, for Always Positive Jay, for Mario Musa, Dave Jordan, Ed Ruper, I am Kevin Arnold, reminding all of you, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. We love you all, 3,000.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
As our great late friend Mike Allen always used to say, live life, all gas, no breaks. We will see you next time on The Voice and Land, on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.